Our help is the name of the Lord who created heaven and earth. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Grace be to you this morning, and peace from God, who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the kings. We gather today in God's presence to remember and give thanks for the life of Mona DeWitt. We come together in grief, acknowledging our loss. We also gather today, though, to affirm God's love for us, to support one another in a time of need. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort this morning. In sorrow there is hope, and in death there is a resurrection. Dying Christ destroyed our death, and rising Christ restores our lives. I'd like to share Psalm 23 with you this morning. It was a psalm that I read with the family on the morning after Mona had passed away. Listen to these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A great promise. Let us pray. God, our comforter, you are a refuge and strength, especially in times of great loss. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be present here with us this morning. May it move about us. May we feel that today. Lord, I pray for Ed today in the loss of Mona. Lord, a wife, a friend for many years. And Lord, I just pray that you give him strength to continue on in the days ahead. Lord, may you just fill his time now. As he's mentioned, the house is lonely. It's different. And Lord, when death comes, things change. And may you walk with Ed today and in the days to come. And may you just give him that sense of peace that can only come from you. Lord, I pray for her children, for Brent, Brian and Penny and Brad, and the loss of a mother. Lord, we pray that your grace and love will flow over their lives as they mourn her separation. Things will be different now. And so we ask that you fill that void. Lord, I also pray for her grandchildren and great-grandchildren that have gathered here today that knew her so close. Lord, as their hearts are heavy today and Lord, as those tears come forth, may you bring comfort to them. Lord, we know that today is a day of grief, a day of sadness. Lord, we do pray for this family and those who have gathered here today. Lord, as you've promised in Scripture that one day that joy will return, but yet it's too fresh and too hard today. Lord, I pray for her extended family that's gathered here today, and for those that couldn't be here because they're too far away or maybe they're up in age and they're unable to travel today, Lord, may you be with them wherever they are, and may you bless them with your presence as well. Lord, we thank you for her many friends that have gathered here today as well, from her church and from the community, and maybe those that she worked with throughout her life. Lord, we lift them up to you today too, as they've gathered here today to pay their respects and to honor her life. Lord, we just pray that your peace goes out. Lord, we thank you for Mona's life. We ask that you hear our prayer this morning. In Jesus we pray these things. Amen. If you have your program with you, I encourage you to turn in there this morning. I'd like to read that at this time. Just a snapshot of her life. Mona Lee DeWitt was born June 11, 1943 in Sioux Center, Iowa, to Richard and Florence Wanigan Gerritsen. Mona spent her time working as a certified nurse's aide at various nursing homes in the area until she retired in 2003. She was a member of the First Reformed Church in Inwood, Iowa. Mona enjoyed volunteering at Justice for All, attending TOPS, baking, traveling, camping, and spending time with family. Mona also loved collecting dolls, clocks, bottles, and blue Delph. On September 30, 1960, Mona was united in marriage to Edward DeWitt at Calvin Christian Reformed Church in Rock Valley, Iowa. The two moved to the family farm in 1969. To this union, they were blessed with three sons, Brian, Brent, and Brad. After Ed retired, the two moved to town in 2011, where Mona died peacefully in her sleep on November 8, 2018, at the age of 75. Having gratefully shared her life, Mona is survived by her husband of 58 years, Ed, three sons, Brian and Penny DeWitt of Larchwood, Iowa, Brent DeWitt of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Brad DeWitt of Larchwood, Iowa, four grandchildren, Laura and Heath Bleak of Inwood, Iowa, Samantha and Joel Kudem of Lester, Iowa, Kayla and Vince Whaler of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Kyle DeWitt of Larchwood, Iowa, six great-grandchildren, Mia, Vanessa, Kamara, Bennett, Max, and Jax, and sister Denise Van Berkham of Michigan. She was preceded in death by her parents, Richard and Florence Gerritsen, father and mother-in-law, Henry and Francis DeWitt, brother Larry Gerritsen, brothers-in-law, Ed Dreesen and Martin Halma, and sister-in-law, Joy DeWitt. Blessed be the memory of Mona Lee DeWitt. At this time, we'd like to play Mona's favorite song. And I don't know if many of you know, it's Joey and Rory was a couple that done a lot of Southern gospel, and Mona listened and watched them often. And she often even talked about them with me and how they spoke to her life, and a great Christian couple that did a lot of concerts over the years. And her favorite song is "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And so we just like to sit and listen to that this morning. It was one that Mona would listen to often. Let us listen to that today.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood? The soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you God? are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed, in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
I can about imagine that Mona sitting with Jesus today singing that song. And the joy that that must have brought her when she sat here on this earth and listened to that. Last night, I'll be honest with you, last night I watched that DVD from beginning to end. And it was good. First time I've seen them perform like that and that couple. And the story that Mona watched them for quite a few years. And the female singer on that recording you just heard passed away from cancer a few years ago. And I can imagine that Mona gets to see her as well. I really look forward to them. So that's the hope that Mona had. Are you washed in the blood? And that was so important to her. And so we're going to go to the book, the Bible, Scripture today. And Mona's favorite verse was 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57. Let me just share this with you, too, that not only was this one of her favorite verses, but this set of verses is theologically very deep. And it talks about passing from this earth to the new heaven, and it's quite something. And Mona understood it well. We had many deep conversations about her faith and what heaven would be like, looking forward to that day. And so listen to these words. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning and we've heard from your word, may it speak to us today. Lord, may it bring us hope in the sad time in our lives. May your spirit fill each and every one of us. May you open our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive your word today. And Lord, may these words be yours and never mine. And may you fill me with that same spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. In that last verse that I read you this morning, it said, but thanks be to God. How can we say that today? Mona DeWitt has been taken from this life. She'll be missed by you, Ed. She'll be missed by you, family and friends and those who knew her. How can we thank God when death is something we fight, we hate, we rebel against in our lives? And this morning we are sad and full of sorrow when death takes a loved one from us. We do what we do to postpone it. Some of us take medicines. Some of us have surgeries and maybe heart surgeries. Some of us have pacemakers. Some take chemotherapy or radiation or dialysis. We use them all to fight away death. All because we don't like death. But yet the Bible speaks of death as part of life. For all will die unless Jesus comes again. So how can we say, but thanks be to God? If you roll that around in your mind this morning, and here's why we can say that today, because Jesus has taken the sting of death away. Paul writes it to us in this set of verses. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Mona knew that the sting of death was very evident. There were times when Mona and I would have conversations about death. She knew her heart wasn't well. She knew that she outlived her mother who had the same dreaded thing. She even experienced death early in her life when she lost her 13-year-old brother in a bike car accident in Rock Valley. Jesus spoke to her through that tragedy. She had a deep faith. And often she found comfort in the Lord in those types of times in her life. And so for us that are left behind today, for us as believers in Christ, the sting of death has been removed from us through the work of Christ on the cross. Let me share a story with you that helps us to understand these verses maybe in a little bit deeper way. A young boy was riding with his father one day down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon, and they had the windows down. And they were just driving along, and they were having a conversation with each other, and suddenly out of nowhere, a bumblebee flew into the car. And since this little boy was deathly allergic to the bee stings, he became petrified and scared and terrified. But the father quickly, he reached out and he grabbed the bee by his hand and he squeezed it. He then released it. But as soon as he let it go, the bee began to fly around again. And it buzzed by his head and he ducked to try to get away. And his father saw the panic that was in his face and in his eyes. And once again, the father reached out his hand towards his son. "Do you see this?" he asked. There, stuck in the palm of his hand, was the stinger of the bee. And he said to his young son, "You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you." Jesus has done the same for Mona. Jesus has done the same for you and I who are believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus took the sting of death so you and I wouldn't have to. That's a great story of the love of God the Father for each and every one of us. And so as we come to the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul spells out the implications of a great victory that we can celebrate, both today and for all of eternity. And it speaks to death and to the resurrection of the dead, as we talked about. In verse 57 specifically, it says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's look at that just a little bit deeper this morning of what that actually means. In order for there to be a victory, there must be an enemy that's also in the picture, an opponent, someone who is defeated. And as we gather here today, it's all too clear who our enemy is. It's Satan. And you know, after a while here this morning, shortly after the service, we will get in our cars and we will depart for the cemetery. And as we drive in that cemetery, you will see many, many headstones. And they are a silent reminder to all of us of the onward march of death. Just think back and realize those who were once part of your family have now gone on to be with the Lord. Think about the faithful members of churches that lay in that cemetery. Spend a moment reflecting in your own life. of those you know that have gone on before you. At times we might think that our great enemy Satan is winning. As someone once said, you've heard this joke before, there are only two certainties in life. They are death and taxes. Our enemy is death. Death is painful for those that are left behind. Ed and family, I know that it's hard. You mourn the loss of Mona. We mourn the loss of loved ones that we've had in our lives. But then the Bible goes on further. And it says that there is a sting to death, like a bee or a wasp. And that sting is sin. That's what separates us from God. And death comes as a result of sin. And it grieves us. And as the Bible says, sin gets its power from the law. We know that the law is the commandments of the Lord, which we cannot keep. We try, but we fall short. We are all sinners. Mona was a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Luckily, by the grace of Jesus Christ, though, we have that hope when we ask for that forgiveness in our lives. But there are times, though, when we might feel that we fall into the hands of the enemy, of Satan. After all, Romans 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin are death. What shall we do? What can we do in the face of such a powerful adversary? We think that at times our enemy, Satan, will triumph. Or will he? That's the good news. Look how Paul taunts death in verse 55. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? He knows it's not there anymore. Even in the passing of Mona, we might feel that death wins, that the stinger has stung, and it hurts today. But yet Paul is writing about the resurrection of Jesus and how Jesus' resurrection affects us as believers. And that's why we can burst out and we can shout out, thanks be to God, our Heavenly Father, for what He has done. He's given us the victory, our Lord Jesus Christ. He died the death that we all deserve, but He's been raised again. He's won the victory over death. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay dead. He lives forevermore. You know, this victory will be complete, consummated when He returns. And brings the great change that verse 51 through 54 talks about. Let me talk about that change with you just a little bit this morning. Paul, he's been writing about those who have died. Those who have fallen asleep is what he says. That's what Scripture talks about. Those who have died, when they talk about those who have fallen asleep, Christians who have died. It speaks of Mona who has passed from this earth as well, and other loved ones. And as he describes what will happen on the last day, he's revealing a mystery that we often find hard to understand, but it's been revealed to us. And it says this, not all Christians will die. Some will be alive when Jesus returns. We understand that. But no matter whether we're dead or alive, we shall all be changed. That's what Scripture promised to us. And so let's talk about that change a little bit. All will change. Even those who are not believers, they'll go somewhere else. And we're not gonna settle on that today or discuss that today. We're going to talk about the good change that Jesus talks about, that we celebrate. Let me share some things about Ed and Mona with you this morning. Ed and Mona, they like to go camping and they love to travel together. I'm sure there were times when the pickup or the car couldn't go any further on the road that they would take to get to their destination. And they'd have to park the car, and they'd have to get out, and they'd have to go see the attraction that they were going to see. I think I seen one plaque out there yesterday of the best grandma ever from Wind Cave National Park out of the Black Hills. Well, you can't drive your car right to the front door of the Wind Cave. You have to park in the parking lot, and you have to get out and walk to the cave to see what actually is going on there. You have to change the way that you get there to the final destination. And that's what Paul's talking about here today. And so we have to change from this sinful fleshly body that each and you and I have that's perishable, meaning that it will die someday unless Jesus comes back first, to imperishable. And he says it another way for us too today. Your mortal body, which all of us have, will become immortal in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the change that Paul talks about. And we need to go through that change to enter into the presence of the Holy One in heaven, our Father. That's good news. Mona has gone through that change when she passed away. The perishable is what's left. That's what we bury today. But she's been clothed imperishable with a new spiritual body. And if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Scripture talks about that every one of us will be giving a new imperishable body in the presence of heaven. That's good news today. That gives me great hope. Death has been swallowed up in victory through Jesus Christ. You know, if you were to go into the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, it says this: the glory of the is prophesied in the Old Testament. Death is like a sheet or a veil. But it says death has been swallowed up in Isaiah 25. It will happen no more for those who believe in Jesus Christ. But today, death is like this sheet or veil that comes over us. We can't communicate with Mona anymore. Her body has no life in it anymore. That blanket's been over her. But the good news that's in the book of Corinthians is the promise we need to hold on to. Death has been swallowed up forever through Jesus Christ. Death does not have the last word. Jesus has triumphed. That's why Paul can taunt death. Hey, death, where's your sting? Where's your victory? It's not happening. And he knew that. And I want you to understand that this morning, as a family and as friends. You know, Satan might try to take our loved ones from us. We might believe that from time to time. But Satan will not triumph. Ever. That's our hope as Christians. And that's our hope for today. As you go forward, know that this is not the end. And for you, family, this is not the end. In faith, we have that hope. Today, it might feel like a bee sting. It might hurt, but it will not last. There is a glorious future. Mona understood that. I pray that all of you understand that today. Don't forget those words. Oh, death, where's your sting? Because it's not true. Ed, family, friends that have gathered here today, may you find hope in the promises of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite you to remain seated and turn in your hymn book this morning to number 625, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And we're going to sing verses 1 through 3, number 625. Let us pray. O God, for whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all your servants who have lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. Especially we thank you for your servant Mona. We praise you for the gift of her life, for all in her that was good and kind and faithful. We thank you for the grace that you gave her throughout her life and the love that she was able to show others. We thank you that for Mona, death is past, and Lord, as she now enters into your presence, Lord, you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. From thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to depart for the cemetery here shortly. And as we make our way out, do feel free to grab a coat. It is a little bit cold out there today, and so that we'll make sure that you have time to do that if you plan on joining us at the cemetery for the committal service. After the committal service, the family will return here to the church. And there will be lunch downstairs in the fellowship hall directly below us, and you're welcome to join the family at that time. If you will not be going with us to the committal service, you would like to eat with us, you're welcome just to stay here, and you can head downstairs and wait for us to return. I'm going to invite you to receive his blessing today. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing song will be number 102, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, number 102. And let us sing together, and please stand.